This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Attorneys for the accused marathon bomber, Jahar Tsarnaev, were in federal court today. They argued that the restrictions placed on their client by the government have hurt their ability to mount an effective defense.
The so-called special administrative measures were put in place late last August, 4 months after Tsarnaev's arrest. They include keeping him in solitary confinement, monitoring his calls and mail, as well as a series of restrictions placed on his lawyers.
WBUR's Bruce Gellerman was in the Moakley courthouse earlier today, and he joins us now. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Anthony.
So tell us more about the special restrictions that the government placed on Tsarnaev.
Well, the special restrictions were placed by the Attorney General, Eric Holder, and they were done 4 months after the arrest, which is curious. They restrict his movements within the prison. He's in solitary. He can't talk to other prisoners. He can't pray with other prisoners. And he also has restrictions on his access to information.
Hmm.
And perhaps for his attorneys, the real issue is the restrictions that are on them, that they can't speak to certain people about certain things without having certain things go through the government and get government clearance.
Well, I want to talk to you about that, but first, why does the government say it's necessary to put these restrictions on Tsarnaev?
Well, they say to protect him, to keep him from hurting himself or having others hurt him. And that's the sole reason, the justification for the SAMs.
I see. For the SAMs, that stands for...
The special administrative measures.
Got it. So Tsarnaev's lawyers say these restrictions are hampering their ability to mount a defense. Say more about that. How is that? What's their case?
Well, their case it involves the Sixth Amendment, which says that somebody's entitled to have effective representation. And the attorneys are saying, we don't have access to all the information. The government says we have virtually everything, but that's not everything. This is a very complex case, so they're arguing over every little detail, and the SAMs restrict the defense attorneys from access to certain things like A files. Those are interviews with family members of Tsarnaev. They haven't been able to access government surveillance records of from foreign governments and the CIA. Those types of things. The Waltham triple homicide, which the government suggests that the elder Tsarnaev brother was involved with. They say they can't get information about that.
So, Bruce, I understand there was news as well today about a trial date for Jahar Tsarnaev. Tell us about that.
Well, the prosecutors said fall of 2014 they'd like to start the trial date, and they think that it might last 90 days in the trial, and then another 60 days in the sentencing portion if he's found guilty. To that, the defense team said that's ridiculous, that we don't even know right now. We can't even tell you when we want to set a trial date. We just don't have access to the information that's going to allow us to come to that conclusion. And the federal judge turned around and he said, well, I'm going to put this all under advisement, everything, the special administrative measures and the trial date, and I'll decide by mid-February.
All right. So still some decisions that have to come down the pike there. That's WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reporting from the federal courthouse in South Boston. Thanks, Bruce.
You're welcome, Anthony.
Let's turn now to Nancy Gertner. She's a retired federal judge and currently a professor at the Harvard Law School and a frequent contributor to us here at Radio Boston. Nancy Gertner, welcome back to the show.
Hi. Great to be here.
Great to have you. So first of all, let's start off where Bruce and Anthony left off. The argument that Tsarnaev's defense lawyers are making, which is that basically these special administrative measures are prohibiting their ability to mount a defense and even interfering with due process. You've been both an attorney and a judge. What do you make of their argument?
Well, it's something that you have to get into the weeds to understand. But generally, in other words, you have to know something more about the specifics. But generally, what they're saying is his defense is a collaborative defense. They need to do investigation. They need to talk to other people about various aspects of his defense. They're prohibited from talking to certain people about certain things, which going forward has an impact on his defense. It's hard from a distance to understand how complex a potential death penalty case, particularly one that arguably involves terrorism, accusations of terrorism, might be. Particularly, this is an investigation, as I understand, that straddles not only an investigation of the United States, but an investigation of activities in Russia. It would be complex without the special administrative measures. It is particularly complex with them.
Okay, well, so let's then pare our analysis down to maybe a couple aspects of what the defense is saying. For example, they're saying that these special administrative measures prohibit them from talking to the press, whereas, of course, lawyers for the government can. So I'm just wondering, how fair do you think it is that the accused or his lawyers can't do the same?
Well, it's interesting. Both the lawyers and both the defense lawyers and the prosecutors are subject to limitations on their speech once a case has begun. We've talked about that before. The prosecutor can't arguably poison the pool. On the other hand, they've already said a great deal. I mean, one can hardly imagine a case in which more has been said and written than the Tsarnaev case to date. So basically, silencing the defense lawyers, either under the ethical rules or under the SAMs, keeps them from humanizing their client, assuming that they have information to do so. So even if we didn't have the SAMs, there are the usual restrictions on speech after there's an indictment, but the SAMs make it even more difficult.
Mm-hmm. So Nancy Gertner, let's take a step back here, because as of 2009, out of the 205,000 prisoners in the federal prison system, only 44 of them had these special administrative measures applied to them. So it's very rarely applied, and in extraordinary cases. I mean, what do you make of the fact that even 44 prisoners have undergone these SAMs?
Well, it's very difficult to evaluate, because on the one hand, the government says that they are necessary for the purposes of making certain that he doesn't commit further harm and risk or to himself or to others, substantial damage to property that would entail a risk of death to other persons. So the Attorney General certifies that that's what's going on here. This is a potentially dangerous individual, and notifies the BOP that you need these kinds of measures. Everyone accused of murder is a potentially dangerous person, right? So what are the additional requirements that have to be met here? And obviously, this ought to be applied only in a very, very, very restricted number of situations, because of the impact on the defense and because of the impact on what the public can know about the defense.
Right.
It is interesting in this case that the application for the SAMs occurred, 4 months after the offense, which meant that they didn't see him as meeting these standards.
Well, let me ask you about that. Let me ask you about that, because in that time period, we had the now infamous Rolling Stone cover article that had Jahar Tsarnaev on the cover. And in fact, you know, there has been some media reporting that says that it was that Rolling Stone article plus publications or writings from Inspire, an Al-Qaeda-related publication, that really got the government's attention and made them wonder about the potential influence or voice that Tsarnaev might have, even if he wasn't saying anything at all. So I'm wondering what you think the legal precedent or the impact is of the government essentially holding Tsarnaev responsible for the actions of others. I mean, it's not his fault that Rolling Stone decided to put him on the cover.
But that's very interesting. So the question is, you can think about a continuum here. There are the people who may be reaching out to actually communicate with terrorist groups, et cetera, and that's what one typically envisions as appropriate for the SAMs. You know, someone who's really sending messages to their followers. That's not what's going on here. This is a question, it appears, from what you've said, that this is the way the others have spun the case, the warring characterization of Tsarnaev in the media. And that's not what the SAMs were intended to address. That's not what the SAMs were intended to address. We have public trials in this country and public defenses in this country. So when you're talking about the impact of his symbolism, of the way others are spinning this, that has nothing to do with these special administrative measures, or should not.
Nancy Gertner is a retired federal judge and now a professor at Harvard Law School. Judge Gertner, it's always great to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
And stay with us. Up next, are kids spending too much time participating in school sports? The case against high school sports. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.